Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Greetings, friends, and we are now friends, aren't we? After all, you know my birthday, 10th of March. You know my middle name, Peter, and I know yours, of course, 12th of October, and Sandra. Welcome back to another exciting instalment of the podcast that takes a slightly more than passing interest in what's going on in theatres across East Anglia. You should probably take my use of the word exciting with a pinch of salt, as I once described a camping chair with cup holders as exciting. For those of you whose ears I haven't already defiled with my rambling nonsense, the format of the podcast is simple. If the podcast were a cheese board, then section one is the wooden platter. It's not glamorous, but it's a vehicle for the content that you're after, and let's face it, there's no one out there doing what I do. Thank Christ, you say? Very rude. Usually, this section is where I tell you about what I've been up to recently, in theatre terms, that is. Even though telling you about buying a new kitchen roll holder is great content, it's not really what you're here for. Section 2 is the cheese of our cheese board, the star of the show. It's where I feature a guest or guests to talk turkey to me about whatever local theatre type stuff that they're up to. And the final section is the celery and grapes. It's where I give a shout out to a few of the upcoming productions going on in our region. That's all coming up, of course, but first, here's some promotion for the podcast's social media accounts. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok account. Now, if you want to follow them, do. If you don't, I don't care. I'm not great at this self-promotion lark, so I'm not going to cheapen myself by asking you to give me attention on social media too. What it is worth telling you, though, is that I do post info on upcoming shows and auditions in the region, and those are definitely worth your attention. The podcast also has a website. eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus the written versions of the reviews that I produce, as well as a page to contact me if you'd like to tell me my voice is annoying or that my existence is meaningless. Your choice. Now, on to section one proper, and we start with a question that I rather awkwardly have to ask myself because, well, there's no one else to ask it. Ray, what have you been up to theatre-wise lately? Well, thanks for asking, my good friend. Well, firstly, I've just finished a production of Season's Greetings, which was on at Sheringham Little Theatre. That went really, really well. So well, in fact, that because they sold out all of the shows, they've added an extra couple of dates at Sheringham Little Theatre's sister venue in Great Yarmouth, St George's Theatre. So we'll be resuming Season's Greetings again in January on the 11th and 12th. If you want tickets for that, visit stgeorgestheatre.com, I believe. Let me just check that. Yes, that's correct. stgeorgestheatre.com. After Season's Greetings was finished, I also went to go and see a couple of shows. Not immediately after it finished, I mean like days later, of course. The first of those was a comedy called Immaculate at Sewell Barn Theatre in Norwich. Now, you can read my full review of Immaculate on my website, eatpod.co.uk, if you wish. But what I will say is that the Barn's preview notes for Immaculate mention that critics have both lauded and loathed the play and said that the drama challenges more than just your faith. Well, having had the pleasure of going along to opening night of the production, I definitely fall into the lauded camp. But what I would caveat that statement with is that the play challenges very little at all. And that's okay. If you take it as a straight comedy, there's tons to enjoy about the show, especially when the performances were as good as the company produced between them. Now, by the time this episode goes out, Immaculate will have finished. I think the curtain comes down officially on the 2nd of December. I also went to go and see the Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds panto Snow White on the 24th of November. And it was as high quality a show as I'd come to expect from the Theatre Royal. Again, you can read the full review on my website, but that one continues until the 14th of January. But if you're interested, you can listen to the interview that I recorded with Philippa Carson and Peter Baker about the production. Anyway, enough about me, and what about you? Have you seen any shows lately that have left an impression? Do feel free to get in touch and let me know your thoughts. So, on to section two, the interview. And this time, I'd like to introduce you to a company in Cambridgeshire who also happen to be working on Season's Greetings by Alan Akeborn, which I've obviously recently had the pleasure of performing. They are Jenny Scott-Reed, Rebecca Hawker, and Jenny Scudamore, and they form part of Combined Actors of Cambridge. So, without further ado, let's have a chat with them, shall we? Welcome to the Combined Actors of Cambridge. Now, before we begin properly, I'm going to start with a confession.
I performed in a production of Season's Greetings, which finished just a couple of weeks ago. So I was really interested to hear from you guys about how you found Season's Greetings as a show and the rehearsal process for it.
For me, it's an antidote to A Family Christmas. It's just a great, fun piece, but also it just shows how Eightbourne puts compassion with the funny. And so it takes you on a journey of so many different characters. So it's been a joy for me as director to direct 9 people who are all very different and who have embodied their characters and see it come to life on stage. And it's a play I've always loved.
I probably actually should have started with the introductions, really. So this is Jenny that's speaking there as the director. We've also got another Jenny here and Rebecca. Could you just briefly introduce yourself and tell us a bit about the character that you're playing?
Sure. So I am the other Jenny Scudamore. I'm playing Rachel. She is sort of the archetypal spinster sister of the family, except that, and this is what kind of kicks off the plot, she sort of decided she might like to not be the spinster sister anymore. And consequently, she has invited to join the family for Christmas a novelist named Clive. And it's really Clive's arrival that sort of kicks off all of the mishaps, shall we say, that arise in this particularly dysfunctional family Christmas.
And hi, I'm Rebecca Hawker, or Becky, as most people call me. I'm playing Phyllis in the play, and Phyllis is quite an interesting and sort of big character in not in terms of the actual role, but just in terms of her personality. But most of the chaos that Phyllis creates tends to happen off stage in the kitchen, but that provides quite a lot of the comedy around the play. And Phyllis is married to a doctor, Bernard, who they've got quite an interesting marriage, which, you know, may or may not be based on Phyllis's hypochondriac tendencies. and she's a really fun character to play. She's not in as many of the scenes as some of the other characters, but when she is on stage, she does tend to create a bit of a fuss around her. So she's quite a neurotic woman in her 40s, likes a bit of a drink, and is quite enamored by the young novelist that has arrived on the scene.
Mm. So how have you found the rehearsals? Because for me, there was 2 key scenes that stuck out as being a bit more challenging to rehearse, but I'd be interested to hear it from your perspective.
I think I can guess which ones they were.
Yeah. Was it by any chance Act 2, Scene 1?
Snakes and Ladders.
Oh, that's Act 2.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Okay.
Yes, of course, you played Neville, didn't you?
Oh, so yeah, Act 2, Scene 1 is the puppet show, isn't it?
Yes. I think for most of the cast, Act 2, Scene 1 is probably the challenging one. And for everyone who doesn't know anything about the play, Bernard, who Becky was mentioning just now, is staging a puppet show for all of the children of the family, and his big dress rehearsal occurs during that particular scene, and that makes it quite complicated because there's all kinds of puppet business going on, which interleaves really beautifully with all of the other things that are going on in the house. But that does mean that pretty much everybody is involved in that scene, and it's very complicated with all kinds of overlapping jokes and action going on. So I think probably as a whole, that one's been the most involved too.
We as a cast, we also found the Snakes and Ladders ones are quite difficult as well. I don't know how, Director Jenny, how have you got your stage set up? Have you gone with a traditional one as per the book?
Well, no, not really. I wanted it very claustrophobic because you've got to have these characters trapped. But we've got a 7-foot kind of landing. The Christmas tree is absolutely dead central because it is Christmas and everything revolves around the Christmas tree. We need to use imagination because this is a huge house. So you want to kind of feel that the lounge goes further, the dining room goes further. But you need to kind of concentrate a lot of the action within the hall. And I think, like you were saying about the complications within the text, is that when in the end of Act 1 and the beginning of Act 2, as Jenny was saying, what the joy of this is you've got action going in all different areas at all times. And with that action going in all different areas at all times means you've got different people speaking and having conversations, But of course, you've got to keep the action going on stage. So the cueing and the shaping of the piece has to be that actually you can follow, but your eye is kind of interested in what's happening elsewhere. And that's very complicated to direct, but also to get your team together. And this team have hit it absolutely straight on, the shaping and everything, so that it brings the humour in, but also brings the poignancy at times when it kind of comes down.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned poignancy, because while it is ultimately a very sort of silly, festive comedy, there is perhaps an unexpected pathos to the show, particularly for the female characters. But how much have you explored that element of the play?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think, first of all, before we started rehearsals, we started looking at the characters, looking at what they bring. I think in every rehearsal, there's been times, because you've got that dialogue between the director and the actor, and finding out what's your motivation, why are you doing these things, what are you thinking, what do you want from the other person. So very much in kind of thinking when it comes down, and actually, you know, because there is some great scenes with all the characters where the poignancy, and again, sometimes I think in productions I've seen that's been missed. It's actually just stayed at the humorous level. And you need to take an audience on a journey. You want them to follow these characters. You want them to believe in the characters. But at the end of the day, you know, Eightbourne loves Christmas because he said it's an opportunity to put a whole load of people together that you don't normally invite to your house. He hates Christmas, by the way. He locks himself in a room. And he sort of said, you know, it just causes mayhem. But what you have to believe is that this group of people do this every Christmas. And, you know, even though there are the kind of fights, there's the mayhem and everything, there has to be that warmth underneath it that you actually feel for every single character there. And again, we've done a lot of work to kind of get there.
Mm. For you, Jenny and Becky, do you both enjoy your characters? I mean, I found sort of doing character explanation, I didn't particularly like, I played Neville, I didn't particularly like him.
Mm. I really enjoy Phyllis. I mean, I suppose if you think about if you met her actually in real life in the street, we probably wouldn't be friends. But she's really fun to play. You know, she could. I was saying this earlier, is that, you know, I feel like the character of Phyllis suits my kind of preferred acting style anyway. I quite like to kind of get really stuck in and maybe add a little bit of overacting to the mix to kind of really get the sense of the character. So playing a character like Phyllis, I really enjoy playing her. I think she's quite funny. But yeah, if I met her in real life, I probably wouldn't like her very much. She's a bit too neurotic for me.
Whereas interestingly, I think possibly Rachel and I actually would be friends. I think so Rachel is, I mean, she's socially inept, but she very clearly does have a really strong streak of loyalty and moral compass to her. Even though all the men in the play behave appallingly to her, frankly, she's actually quite kind in return, considering, frankly, the outright and appalling misogyny that you get in a 70s comedy. And I think she's kind of the archetypal bookish one of the family. So you've got an interesting sister dynamic there where Belinda, whose house it is, who is hosting this whole Christmas, she is very clearly the sociable one. She has the family, she has the nice house. Rachel is the single sister living on her own in a tiny flat, trying to make friends with novelists, not entirely succeeding. And yeah, I think I probably would actually be friends with the bookish Rachel rather than the rather suburban and ordinary Belinda, to be honest. So yeah, I do sort of like her.
And Ray, if I can just pick up on you saying you didn't particularly like the character, because Dan was going to join us, but he's had a nightmare at work. It's interesting because both Dan and Eddie, we're setting it in 1983. So Dan and Eddie both said, we don't like these men. Why do they act in this way? And I said, because being my age and being a mother in 83, I said, well, it was very typical that the men went down the pub and just left the women to it. So it took them a kind of while and to understand that Dan's, as long as he's in control as Neville, then everything is okay. But as soon as things go awry, he kind of loses it a bit. Mm-hmm. And of course, Eddie is not in control and therefore finds it difficult to kind of stay in control. And I think the two actors have now nailed that. But yes, I don't think they like the characters to begin with.
I think you'd have a problem if you did really like. I mean, not to say I didn't enjoy portraying him, but they're not particularly likable. None of the men are particularly likable. Mm. Bernard, you probably feel a little bit sorry for.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think quite a lot of the humour in the play is that you're sort of watching it while wincing. You know, it's very much a kind of watch it through your fingers. You're looking at a complete car crash of a Christmas. And the reason that it's funny is that there's so much in that that anyone can relate to, because everyone's had car crash Christmases. Okay, not in the dramatic fashion that this particular one becomes. But, you know, there's so much in there that even though this was written in the 70s, and as we've said, there are, you know, quite misogynistic background traits to the men in particular, nonetheless, there is quite a lot in there that is just timeless family dynamics stuff.
I wondered for you, Jenny, as the director, watching on for a fair few of the characters in the show, there's plenty of time to sit back and watch others in action, particularly Uncle Harvey, who I was quite envious of, actually, during the rehearsal process and getting to sit in that chair for ages. But which of the roles do you think you'd have enjoyed playing?
That's a really interesting question. And I think it would depend what age I was in my career in kind of as an actress, because I'm an actress as well as a director. I love Phyllis. I would absolutely. I'm still too old for any of them now. I'd be the grandmother. I'd be Harvey's wife. But I think also actually any of them, they're all so well written. I like Eightbourne. I've acted in Eightbourne. I've directed Eightbourne before. I think if you dig deep in the characters, there is always something that you can kind of find. I think, you know, Jenny's character, Rachel, is probably the least like me. But again, as an actress, that means it's very challenging to play. So, yes, I love all of them. And I've really enjoyed getting to know them with the cast, because you have your own ideas. You've done your research as a director. I'm very visual. I know the characters, but I love when, you know, the actors will also bring their own element to it as well. And you see it come to life. That's great.
Was this a play that you specifically chose to direct?
Yeah. I saw it in the National in 2010, and I've seen a couple of amateur productions since then. And I just thought there was elements that I just felt in all of the productions there wasn't there. And I just thought it'd be lovely to direct it.
Mm. And for you two as actors, Jenny and Becky, had you come across Season's Greetings before?
No, I hadn't. I largely auditioned for it because it was quite different to most of the things that I'd done in recent years, most of which had tended more toward the naturalistic or the tragic end of the spectrum. And so it really appealed to me, the fact that this did have quite out there characters and was going to be a festive comedy. That was kind of what drew me to audition to it.
Yeah, and similar for me, I haven't come across Season's Greetings before, but I have featured in an Eightbourne before. I played a part in the Between Mouthfuls, which I really enjoyed playing. And again, there was a lot of that physical kind of lots of things going on at the same time and having to cut into different conversations. So I was kind of familiar with that format. And I quite like comedies. I kind of prefer it a little bit more to acting in more serious roles, although I have played some quite serious roles before. My last role was in Fallen Angels, Noel Coward. So, and I was playing the maid, and she's a really funny character as well. And I really enjoyed playing that. So that's what motivated me to audition for this one, because I knew it would be another really good comedy play that I could, you know, get my teeth into. And Phyllis appealed to me the most, because, you know, in my mind, she is the most comedy character in the play. So
Now we've mentioned Uncle Bernard before and his puppets, but in the show, it seems that Uncle Bernard's puppets have become something of a festive tradition in the Bunker household. But for you, what unique traditions do you each have in your households around Christmas?
I'll go first. So I've got two teenage children, and I like to have a tradition every year of doing a treasure hunt to their little Christmas decorations. So I have to kind of make up all these clues, and every year it's a challenge to think of different things and different places to hide things. And when they get to the end of their treasure hunt, they have a little Christmas tree decoration that they can add onto the tree, with the idea being that one day when they're old enough to want to leave home, hopefully one day, and be more independent. They'll have a little starter kit of Christmas tree decorations to begin with. So that's my little Christmas tradition that I've started with my family.
With me, I drive my family nuts and have done for years, because ever since they were kids, and my kids are now 42 and 38, I have given chocolate money and a selection box. And as they got older, I hide them in different size boxes, so they have no idea which one is the chocolate money or the selection box. Now, my family do not find this funny at all. And as you can imagine, for 42 years, this has been going on, and I will not stop.
And you still find it funny.
Amazing. Still find it.
My son gave me a huge box last year. And when I opened it, I thought, wow, this is fantastic. It had chocolate money in it. And they thought I would get that it's not funny. And I thought it was hysterical. I just thought it was so funny. So, yeah, I will continue.
See, in my family, I think it's my father who is more like Jenny. So I now live quite a long way away from my parents. And just the other day, a box arrived for me containing a large fabric advent calendar, which he sends me every single year. I am now in my late 30s, with chocolates in each of the pockets. And I just know exactly what will have happened. So he will have decided that he's sending me the advent calendar, because he always does. But it will have been my mother who he will have got to go and buy the chocolates and wrap up for the chocolates. And then he'll have put them in the advent calendar, and then he'll have posted it to me. But yeah, every year without fail, in the mail arrives a long felt advent calendar with chocolates in all of the pockets. And it has done for, well, nearly two decades now, since I left home, basically.
And just turning briefly away from the show itself and looking at you as individuals, how long have you been involved with Combined Actors?
My very brief answer. It's my first play with Combined.
It's my second play directing. I did Lady Killers the year 2021. In the summer. I've been acting for 30 years and directing for 20, but yes, this is now my second with Combined.
I could have talked to you about Lady Killers as well. I've done that show as well.
Oh, brilliant show.
Really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I've been acting pretty much all my life. And for Combined, about 10 years ago, I played Maggie in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and Hannah in Arcadia. And then a few years ago, I was in Our Country's Good, and I think a couple of others along the way. I get mixed up, to be honest, between which companies exactly were which.
To be fair, I mean, I flit around from company to company, basically just go wherever the show is. So from your time on stage or even, you know, directing, perhaps, is there any particular highlights that you can pick out?
Me, in acting, what suited my character was Madame Arcati in Blood Spirit, which I absolutely adored. I've had the opportunity of doing some fantastic roles, but my favourite role was playing Mari in Little Voice, because she's such an awful woman. And again, it's wonderful to play someone who's totally different to you. So they're highlights for me.
For me, I think my very first like stage role was when I was 13. And I got a part in Bugsy Malone, and I'd auditioned for all of the kind of like glamorous parts like Blousey and Tallulah. And I was really hoping to get Tallulah. That's what I really wanted. But unfortunately, you can't tell on screen, but I'm about 5'10". So unfortunately, at that time, I was too tall for any of the female parts. So they gave me Fat Sam, which I was quite disappointed with. But I love that story. But actually, it was a really fun role to play. And yeah, that was kind of one of my first flavour of being on a proper stage. Although I had done, I was like in a drama school and I had done acting before, but that was like my first proper serious stage role. And I was, yeah, it was a good fun role to play. And since then, I've been mostly doing plays with St. John's Players in Fulbourne. So, yeah, as I say, this is my first combined role. But then more recently, I think Saunders from Fallen Angels was my other favourite role to play, because she was just so funny. Really enjoyed that one.
I think it's so hard to... It's like asking you to choose between your children, really. yeah, I don't think I can really choose a favourite role. But possibly Electra, because it was the first time that I'd done a Greek tragedy and I really, really loved that. Or actually another Greek tragedy, as it happened, Trojan Women, just because that was the first time that I did Edinburgh and doing the Edinburgh Fringe is such a different experience to any kind of fixed location run that you do. Yeah, it's just a different experience, and therefore I suppose that kind of is special in its way.
And speaking for myself as someone that involves themselves in theatre constantly, I've always got half an eye on what's next for me. But for you guys, because Season's Greetings closes on the 9th of December. So firstly, what's next for Combined Actors, and what's next for you guys as individuals?
So I'm actually going to do another combined show. So the spring production is The Ghostly Gift of Miss Constance Cooper. And I am going to be playing Queen Marie Antoinette.
And for me, I've not got anything lined up, but I'm aware that there may be a show around May time, The Vicar of Dibley, which appeals to me again for its comedy element. So I may audition for that. But I think for me, a few of the cast do quite a lot of concurrent shows, like Jenny's already got her next one lined up. For me, I'm the sort of person that needs to have a break. I need to kind of do a show and only one show. And then when that's finished, I can then think about what I might want to do next. So I might just have a little breather. But The Vicar of Dibley appeals to me.
I would like to see you in that.
I think for me, I'm in directing. I used to direct about 3-4 productions a year and also perform. I'm now kind of doing 18 months in between, so a little bit as Becky's saying, but I'm also a drama adjudicator, so I adjudicate festivals, and I've got the Wales final. I've been lucky enough to do the Scottish final, English and British, so I've got a few of those lined up, which means it's a bit difficult to audition for some bits, but I'm hoping to act next year.
Oh, that's cool. So just finally, can you sum up why people should come and buy tickets for Season's Greetings?
I think for most of us, and for anyone out there, there'll be resonances with the script. I think anyone, you know, seeing the characters' particular situations, their relationships, and although they're different from our own, I think it still allows us to empathise and laugh. And I think the beauty of Akeborn's writing is to expose those tragic glimpses, but also and the compassion. And it is laugh out loud, but it also is one that you want to root for every single one of these characters and see how it goes. And I think, like I said earlier, it's the perfect antidote to the traditional Christmas.
Yeah, I think that quite neatly sums it up. So we couldn't get Dan here, who's playing Neville, for today's interview. If he can't make it to the shows, you've got a ready-made replacement here.
Good to know.
Anyway, so it opens on the 5th of December, is that right?
Yes, yeah. To the 9th, and there's a matinee on the Saturday as well.
Fantastic. And where do we get tickets from?
ADC Theatre.com.
That's perfect. Okay, well, good luck with the shows, and hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ray. Bye-bye.
So there we have it. That was Jenny and Becky from Combined Actors of Cambridge. If you want to catch them in action, they'll be performing Season's Greetings between the 5th and 9th of December at the ADC Theatre in Cambridge with a matinee on the Saturday. Tickets are available via adctheatre.com. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, of course, panto season is now in full swing. Aside from Snow White at Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds, which continues until the 14th of January, tickets are available via theatreroyal.org, there's also the Big Ass Pantomime in Norwich at the Theatre Royal there. Theirs is Sleeping Beauty and features a treat for musical theatre fans as Carl Queensborough and Millie O'Connell, stars of Hamilton and Six respectively, both take a leading role, as does Coronation Street legend Beverly Callard. That opens on the 9th of December and runs until the 7th of January, and tickets are available via norwichtheatre.org. Opening on the 7th of December is the Galston Pavilion Theatre production of Dick Whittington. That features friend of the podcast, Simon Michael Morgan, and it runs until the 6th of January. Tickets are available via galstonpavilion.co.uk. Over in Suffolk, the Dispanto this year is Cinderella, and it's on from the 16th to the 31st of December at the Corn Hall in Dis. Tickets for that are available via thecornhall.co.uk. Now, if you're looking for something a bit different, or more adult perhaps, the Adult Panto Company have a filthy, festive treat for you. Their version of Cinderella is on at the Madder Market in Norwich from the 3rd to the 13th of January, and then at the Beccles Public Hall and Theatre from the 24th to the 27th of January. Tickets for those are available via maddermarket.co.uk and beccles.publichall.co.uk. And finally, if panto just isn't your thing, but you still want a family-friendly show this festive season, Westacre Theatre in King's Lynn may have just the thing. They'll be performing an adaptation of the Grimm Fairy Tales between the 15th and 24th of December, and tickets for that are available via thelittleboxoffice.com. And that, folks, is all I have time for. As usual, I'll post links for all the shows mentioned, as well as some others that I haven't had time to feature, on my social media pages. Thanks so much for listening to me, Jenny, and Becky ramble on, and tune in next time for what will no doubt be a wonderful experience as I irritate some new people. Until then, take care of yourselves, and go watch some theatre. Bye!